Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here.
Reminding you that American Family Insurance agents can help build a customized renter's policy.
So you can protect stuff like this.
Or this.
Or even this.
Nope. Case in point.
Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Good afternoon, my conscious co-creators. Good morning, good evening, wherever you're tuning in from. Welcome to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. I am very, very pleased that you are here with me today. I know you probably missed my show last week because it was 4th of July and we decided to take off for the holiday, so we didn't have a new show last week. Today we do. We have a wonderful guest in store for you who I'm excited to bring on. So I want to get to that quickly. But first, of course, we have our blog post from a couple of years ago. Just taking them in order. And today's blog is entitled, "To Truly Feel a Compliment, We Must Make Space to Take It In." We all love to get compliments. It feels good to hear others speak kindly about us. Yet sometimes there is a challenge to it. We can have difficulty receiving the compliment, especially when it is about a part of us we don't feel very good about. No matter what other people say, we just can't feel it ourselves. Perhaps we don't feel as good. We don't feel as good looking or as pretty as they say. Maybe we just can't connect with the idea that we're smart, capable, or wise. It can be hard to take in such compliments when we are not used to them or feel we haven't earned them. A lot of it may come down to early childhood experiences. If we were never complimented by our parents, then how can we be good when we are used to being told that we can do better? How can we feel that we actually have done better? No matter what anyone else says, we have to feel it. We might momentarily acknowledge the compliment and then immediately move on to something else. Or we could ignore the compliment or altogether. For if we don't truly feel it in our body, our minds cannot register it. Our nervous system can't process the compliment. No matter how many times we hear it, it does not matter. So how do we learn to let these compliments in that we cannot feel? The first step is to wait. Do not respond right away. Just take a moment and try to feel it. The more awareness we bring to hearing the compliment, the better chance we have of actually letting it in. It might not happen the first time or the second time, but if we stick with the practice, eventually we will start to feel it a tiny bit, and then more. We can also use some physical cues to help us to receive the compliment, like putting your hand over your heart and take a moment. Then try saying, "Thank you." By taking time to acknowledging the compliment, you give your body time to feel it. Even if you can't feel it in the beginning, with practice you will. The more space we give ourselves to feel something, anything, the more likely we are to actually feel it. So over time, with patience and practice, we will feel these compliments. Even if they seem hollow and untrue in the beginning, if people keep telling you that you are good, handsome, smart, dependable, pretty, then they are reflecting something back to you that they see clearly, even if we don't. So we can all practice giving more space to the moment when someone pays us a compliment. And one day, when we say thank you, we will really mean it. So when have you been paid a compliment and truly taking it in? Can you give more space when someone says something nice about you to really feel it and take it in? So I wrote this blog post a couple of years ago, and it had been something that had been in my consciousness in my field for a while, something I'd learned from one of my old mentors, that many times we really do have a hard time receiving when someone pays us a compliment. And even if someone just does something nice for us, I mean, just receiving in general sometimes is difficult. And so I was working with someone, and I gave them a compliment, and they immediately like went off on a totally different tangent. And I was like, wait a minute. Take that in. I just said you're da-da-da. And they paused for a moment, and then they realized, wow, that actually is really hard. They really can't feel it in their body. And so that's when I started to realize that it is actually a much more common condition than we realize. And so that's why I decided to write a blog post about it, because I felt like there are a lot of people out there who could really use this. And so one thing that I do, and this is why I wrote about it in the post, is when someone pays me a compliment and I really want to take it in, I put my hand over my heart as a way of saying thank you. And it also is a physical touch, a physical sensation that reminds me, like, oh, take a moment, feel that, really let it in. And, you know, in the beginning, could I feel it? Nah, not that much. But over time, the more I did it, the more I was able to feel it. And so now when somebody pays me a compliment, I don't even have to do that anymore. I just look at them, take a breath, I smile, a big smile, and I just say thank you. And I don't immediately try and compliment them back. See, that's one of the key things. Oftentimes, someone gives us a compliment, we feel like we have to give them a compliment back. It's almost transactional. You know, we feel bad if we don't compliment them back. No. Just because someone gives you a compliment, you do not have to compliment them back right away. This doesn't mean you don't compliment them, as long as you're doing it sincerely. But give a moment to just receive the compliment, really feel it, maybe continue on with the conversation, and then later on compliment them about something. Because otherwise it starts becoming a tug of war of compliments, and then nobody is feeling. So your mission, should you choose to accept it for this week, is when someone gives you a compliment, take some time, stop and really feel it. And see how easy or how difficult is it for you to feel that compliment. And I'd be curious to hear about it next week. So if you're tuning in this week and you're going to do it, let's like put a little something in the chat and say, hey, yes, Sam, I'm going to do it this week. And then next week, let me know. I'd like to know how that exercise does for you. So that's my blog post. It's entitled "To Truly Feel a Compliment, We Must Make Space to Take It In." And you can always find my blog on the radio station, talkradio.nyc/blog, as well as on my personal branded website, theconsciousconsultant.com. All right. Now, it is my extreme pleasure to welcome to the show psychotherapist, teacher, author, and maestra, Dr. Don St. John. Dr. Don has been working in the fields of psychological, somatic, and spiritual healing for over 60 years. Over time, he encountered not just tools and techniques, but different schools of thought, both novel and derived from wide-ranging sources. Decades of exploration led him to construct a view of healing, purpose, and human potential that includes four essential and interrelated components: the somatic, the psycho-emotional, the relational, and the spiritual. At 81 years old, he still practices psychotherapy. That's longevity, man. And he teaches continuum, which means he teaches folks half his age to more fluidity. He has developed a four-pillar approach to healing, which he defines as the process of becoming whole. Reared in a climate of ignorance and abuse, his life has been dedicated to healing and to understanding what is necessary to fulfill our potential. He is also the award-winning author of Healing the Wounds of Childhood and Its Revision, Healing the Wounds of Childhood and Culture, An Adventure of a Lifetime. Welcome to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Dr. John.
It's a delight to be here with you, Sam. I loved your blog that you just read. So aligned with what I like to talk about.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you. Yeah, it's so funny. I mean, the blogs are always, I'm just reading them in order, but somehow they're always so apropos to who my guest is for that week.
Definitely apropos to what we'll talk about.
Yes, yes, very much so. I'm looking forward to the conversation. So I always like to start off to give my audience a little bit of sort of context and background. How did you decide to become a psychotherapist? You know, a lot of people tend to avoid that field because, you know, psychotherapists don't make a whole lot of money. I mean, they do okay, but, you know, going into the healing arts is not something people do you know, most parents want their children to become doctors, lawyers, accountants. What got you to decide to go into the fields of healing?
You're right. It's not a path towards becoming a billionaire for sure, but it can be extremely satisfying.
Yes.
And, you know, I had no idea when I graduated from high school what I wanted to do with my life. I had given up my earlier teenage dream of becoming a professional prize fighter. And no, I'm serious. Yeah. I mean, you know, that's the environment that I grew up in. There was a fair amount of violence, ignorance. You know, it was quite traumatic. Mm. And as a result, I was a pretty fragmented and frozen character with, you know, a certain amount of intelligence, but below my neck, I hardly existed. So, you know, I went into the military and there I was stationed overseas, Bermuda, you call that overseas. And yeah, right.
Okay.
And began taking some college classes with the University of Maryland's overseas program. And realized that, wow, they treat you like an adult. And I liked it. You know, I actually liked going to school. So, you know, when I was discharged after 4 years, I continued at the University of South Florida in Tampa. And, you know, I had started psychotherapy myself because after a calamitous experience drinking all night and ending up in a hospital. And I realized I needed help. So I saw a psychotherapist and, you know, looked like an interesting thing to do, to sit and talk to people and get paid for it. Okay, I might be able to do that. Yeah. And, you know, so that's how it happened. I put one foot in front of the other. And as you mentioned, it's been 60 years since I began that process and continue to this day. I call it an adventure because, you know, obviously there are many, many challenges, but the rewards can be so gratifying. You know, a very positive compliments to take in love. See, yeah. It's an epidemic, you yeah. know. The Surgeon General of the United States spoke of a loneliness epidemic. Mm. And, you know, a part of that is our inability to let in good vibes, good feelings, love, compliments, you know, to really receive. So we're stuck in the images that we constructed throughout our childhood. And usually the theme is not good enough.
Yeah.
You mentioned that. So, you know, there are many, many rewards. A marriage of 40 years that's still lively, mm-hmm. you know, that's intimate, that we can really disclose at our depth mm-hmm. and not just on the surface. And that is one of the most profound rewards of embarking on this journey and staying the course.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So just to let you know, my wife is also a psychotherapist. We've only been married 21 years. We're youngsters compared to you. So for her sake, I do have to ask you one question, because one thing for us is one of the hardest things to deal with is burnout, because many therapists, after a period of time, they do get to that point of burnout. So I'm just curious, what do you do? Do you have some practice or something that kind of keeps you going? Because listening to people's problems all day long, yes, it's very gratifying and very profound being able to help people to get over their challenges, but it can be wear you out sometimes, no?
Yes, it can. And, you know, there's a continuum of ability to not take it home with you. My wife is a therapist also, and it's a little more challenging for her. She's, you know, just naturally more empathic and absorbent.
Right.
And I started on the other extreme. I had to learn to be empathic. So it's easier for me to leave it at the door. The other thing is, you know, I am 81 years old, so I don't keep a full practice. I keep about a 40% of full practice. And the third, as I've gotten older, I've given myself more permission as a therapist to really engage my clients at a human, loving level. Mm. And that's also energizing. You know, I don't feel so constrained by the role, by the laws, by, you know, I just feel freer to be myself in that consultation room. And I think that helps as well.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. I have a lot of questions. I want to get into your four pillar approach, but we got to take a quick break first. So, when we come back, I want to start talking about how you developed this idea of this four-pillar approach, and I'm going to relate to it because it's something that really spoke to me, and I'll explain why. So everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We do this every Thursday, except for holidays, 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on talkradio.nyc, and we'll be right back with our guest, Dr. Don St. John, in just a moment.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Branku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We're speaking this hour with Dr. Don St. John, author of the book, Healing the Wounds of Childhood. So I was really interested to learn about sort of this, I don't know if you call it a system or your approach to healing, because it's something that speaks to me, because I've been studying and trained in some lineages where we talk about heart, mind, body, and spirit. And many people in the healing world, they just talk about mind, body, spirit. And so I always like to throw the heart in there, which is sort of the emotional side, which kind of relates to your four components of healing. And I'm curious how you developed this four-pillar approach, kind of where it came from, and if you could just explain it to our audience so that they can get some insight into it.
Sure. It's a big question, Sam, and it evolved out of my own experience, out of my own pursuit of healing for myself and my interest in understanding what does it take to become more and more fully ourselves. And you know, I talk about, if you go onto a campus, the physical therapy department and the psychotherapy department are usually on the opposite sides of the campus. And that's not nature's concept. That's ours.
Yeah.
So trauma, for example, affects every aspect of our being. We've come to realize that it affects the brain and it affects the nervous system, and that's a step forward. But we're just now, and I mean like recently, beginning to realize that it affects all the tissues in the body. And I speak a lot about the fluid system because the body is approximately 65 to 75% liquid.
Yeah.
Okay? And speaking of the heart, I see the heart as the center of that fluid system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's the main pump, right? It's what circulates the blood.
Yeah, and it's so much more than just a pump. You know, It's a filter. It filters in and out, you know, experiences that are consistent with our belief system. It's a transmitter. The vibrations or the information from my heart can reach across a room and affect somebody 10, 12 feet away from me.
Yeah, that's from the, I remember the HeartMath Institute. They were the first ones to really measure the electromagnetic field of the heart and found it's actually bigger than the brain.
Actually bigger than the brain, exactly. Much bigger, much bigger, much stronger than the brain. So, you know, I came to realize over time that my body needed to be addressed for healing to take hold. That it was critical. Now, when we talk about the body, and this is something that may be a little challenging to comprehend, but I think it's important. There was a man named Thomas Hanna. He was a philosopher. He brought a man named Moshe Feldenkrais to this country. You may have heard of the Feldenkrais method. And then he developed his own. But he was originally a philosopher. And he pointed out that we talk about the body. That's a third person thing. The body, the elbow, the shoulder, the heart. But you and I don't experience that. What we experience are the sensations and feelings and intentions, perhaps, the subjective side of the body. And he said that, you know, so many of the problems that face us is out of the lack of realization, the absence of the comprehension that we have to evolve and develop language to enrich our own experience of life, our own experience of ourselves, our own experience of our relationships. Again, our experience. So it's the, the inside. I teach a method of, it's a movement meditation called Continuum. It was developed by a woman named Emily Conrad. And basically, she asked the question, if the body is primarily water, how does water move? And then she spent the rest of her life, some 50, 60 years, in pursuit of the answer to that question. And slowly and gradually, being able to connect our consciousness to the fluid level of our body.
Oh, that's fascinating.
Yeah, it really is. Because, okay, let's go back to your blog and to the capacity to receive. Right? Now, I will predict, this is anecdotal, I don't have research evidence, but I have, you know, many decades of observations that people who are most tense in their body, who carry chronic tension at a high level in their body, have the least capacity to receive. See, think about it. Water is the most receptive substance on earth.
Yeah.
You see? Is that making sense?
So for the right, because the tension is almost, it's resistance, right? When we tense up, we resist what's around us.
Exactly. And you know, we block that fluid flow. You know, like a river that gets dammed up in places. This is hard to get across in words.
Yeah,
it's better to go online and watch some demonstrations of Continuum.
Mm-hmm.
One could go to the Continuum Teachers Association.com and get a real sense of what that discipline is about. But approaching only the body is insufficient, because
right.
we've got to deal with those beliefs that you alluded to in your blog about, I'm not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that I'm good looking, or I don't believe that I'm lovable or intelligent. And those beliefs need to be addressed.
Mm-hmm.
And then I talk about the third leg of that four pillars is our capacity to be intimate in relationships, to mm-hmm. disclose ourselves. Most of us are never taught how to just tell the simple truth of our experience.
Mm-hmm.
The simple, God,
right.
when you raised your voice like that, it scared me.
Right.
Just that level of truth and self-disclosure
mm-hmm.
that's so important in an ongoing intimate relationship. And my point of view or my belief is that the culture as a whole has yet, to reach intimacy as normative. Now, I'd suggest that many, if not most, married couples don't get to that depth of connection. The
yeah.
level that's possible.
Yeah.
They keep certain aspects of themselves hidden away, and often hidden from themselves.
Very true. Very true, because to admit it to ourselves is sometimes the scariest thing. If we could admit
mm-hmm.
it to ourselves, then we could admit it to our partners or to other people. But before we go to break, I just want to ask you.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
One quick question on the fluid aspect of our bodies. I'm assuming you're familiar with the work of Dr. Emoto.
Yes.
He did the experiments with sort of even just putting a word on a piece of paper and wrapping it around a bottle of water would actually change the physical structure. Do you do things that you believe will help to change sort of the underlying structure of your fluids, I guess?
Yeah. I mean, there are numerous things. One is to not engage in, to not cultivate negativity. So something arises, I don't like it, I might feel annoyance or anger, but my practice is let it go, return to equilibrium, and then if there's something that needs to be dealt with, deal with it. But when I was young, I mean, I could keep a stream of negativity going for hours, and that's affecting the waters of the body. Okay. In my practice, I put different sounds into different areas of the body to stir the water, to get the waters more animated, more alive, moving better. So those are two. I'm sure I could think of more. In October, I'm going to Lisbon, Portugal to attend a conference on water. And there's some significant, very interesting findings that, you know, Emoto, I think, was the father of this research, but there's a lot more.
That's happened since, yeah.
There's a woman, I believe she's in Australia, named Veda Austin, and she does similar things like that, that Emoto does, different along those lines. And I'm excited to learn, you know, what scientists are discovering about this medium that, you know, it's necessary for life.
Okay. Yeah. Let's take our next break. And when we come back, I want to ask you about your book, kind of what was the impetus for that and what the book is about. And then I do want to get into the spiritual side of these four pillars. We haven't gotten to that fourth pillar just yet. So I do want to get to that before the end of the show. Okay. Dr. Yes. Don? Awesome. So everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, and we'll be right back with our guest, Dr. Don St. John, in just a moment.
Hey, everybody. It's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on talkradio.nyc.
Were you an essential worker during the pandemic? If you needed to learn stages of epilepsy, did you depend on advocates? Did you use new innovations to cope with mental and neurological issues? Maintaining high quality of life and keeping good mental health are what we all strive for. I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each week, top healthcare influencers, professionals, and innovators answer these questions and more. Stay tuned on Thursdays at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will continue to be Frank About Health with all of you.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
So, Dr. Don, you wrote a book, The Healing the Wounds of Childhood. When did you write that book? How long ago did it come out?
That one I wrote about 7 years ago. It won an award, a silver medal, the Independent Book Publishers Association. And then I revised it a couple of years ago and retitled it Healing the Wounds of Childhood and Culture.
Mm-hmm. And so what was the motivation behind writing this book? What was it that at this point in time, after so many years, you decided I really want to put pen to paper and or fingers to keyboard and get this story out there?
Well, you know, I've cultivated a very decent life. I feel blessed, grateful. There have been miracles, like could have been dead. I mean, there's so many difficulties that I encountered in the very early years of my life. And to be able to do what I've done took a whole lot of effort over a long period of time. I mean, I talk about being married for 40 years and having a wonderful marriage. What I didn't mention is prior to that, I had 3 marriages and 3 divorces all in 12 years. So, yeah, I can see the expression on your face. It's exactly that. You know, I was a relational moron back then, back in my 20s. I saw parents fighting and cursing. And so that's where I started. And I thought, you know, I've learned a lot. And I think it'd be worth writing about, and maybe it could help some people. And I think one of the things my book does is that it helps people understand why they're having challenges in their life when they believe that they had a quote-unquote normal childhood. I can't tell you, Sam, how many times, and I'll bet you your wife can corroborate this as a psychotherapist. Now, a patient will come in and say, I don't understand why I have these relationship challenges. I had a very normal childhood. Mm. Okay, tell me about your normal childhood. Well, it was good, you know. We had dinner together all the time, and, you know, nobody beat me up. And, oh, yeah, my mom was depressed for the first 2 years of my life. And, yeah, my father liked to drink a lot on the weekends. And, you know, they'd go on and on with these tales of pain. Yeah. You know, that any child in that situation would really feel the effects of what they're describing. But then, you know, they normalize it, construct coping mechanisms to live with it. And it all seems normal. My childhood seemed normal. My mother, you know, took a swing at the back of my head at least once a day for years, almost every day. And sometimes, you know, with wooden spoons. And but it seemed normal. I mean, you know, kids get beat too. And
so one of the things I've learned from my wife is that there are lots of traumas in our life. I mean, there are big traumas, big T traumas, but there are also a lot of little T traumas. And sometimes a lot of those little T traumas over a period of time add up to a much bigger effect on us than we realize than the big T traumas.
Exactly.
So I'm curious, like, with having worked with so many clients over the years, like, what kinds of small T traumas do you find people just ignore but actually have a big impact on our life?
Well, how about, for example, the subliminal and sometimes not so subtle message that sexuality is something to be hidden? Or, you know, in this family, we don't express our vulnerability, our fears, our sadness. You know, some people might say, that's not trauma. That's, you know, that's how it should be. But really? Or a little more obvious, how about the put downs that some kids get, you know, on a kind of consistent basis, the message that, you know, you're just not good enough, or you just don't try hard enough, or why can't you be like your brother? Or, you know, so many of those not explosive traumas. I had them all. I had the big T's, the little T's. You know, my father and I hardly spoke 1,000 words in all the years I was living with him. You know, we just didn't talk to each other.
Yeah.
And when we did, it had a little bit of a snarl quality. Mm-hmm. So how do you characterize that? Big T, little T, in between, you know?
Yeah.
There was no father force in my life.
Yeah, I, in some of the work that I do, we talk a lot about the fact that there's not a lot of balanced masculine energy out there. It's either one extreme or the other. You don't see a lot of people that have a good balance of being sort of a masculine strong, but without being predatory.
Or rigid or hard. Rigid.
Right, exactly, or cold. And kind of now with the Me Too movement, it's almost going in the total opposite direction, where a lot of men are like even stifling their masculinity and suffocating it because they feel guilty about all the horrors that women have suffered at the hands of men.
Exactly. And, you know, I see it as a swing of the pendulum. I think it will find its way towards the center over time. But I think it's reacting to how it used to be in so many places.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, we got one more break. When we come back, I would like to talk about the spiritual side of your practice. And you know, through all this trauma and through all this healing and working with so many people who've experienced so much trauma, how did you develop a spiritual practice and how did that come to inform the work that you do? Okay.
Okay.
So we don't have a lot of time left, but we'll get in there as much as we can. So everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, and we'll be right back with our guest, Dr. Don St. John, to wrap it all up for you in just a moment.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Bronku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your Conscious Consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
So, Dr. Don, in our path of healing, I know it's fairly common that eventually we get to a place of where spirituality really informs our practice. But, you know, sometimes it can be hard, especially as a therapist. You're seeing clients who've experienced incredible trauma throughout their life. How were you able to sort of cultivate this spiritual pillar of these four pillars that you work with?
It's quite a long story. I'll be as succinct as I can. I know our time is limited. I was raised a Catholic, and actually I was the most devout in my family. My parents and my brother didn't go to church. I went to Catholic school, the whole nine yards. And then in late adolescence, I moved in the direction of agnosticism. And by the time I was in graduate school, I was an atheist. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like science is real and all that other stuff is simply not real. So why bother? It's a consolation, a solace for human beings who, you know, it's hard to face our mortality. Then I took a psychedelic. I had an experience with LSD when I was in graduate school with some of my colleagues, and it's hard to be an atheist after that.
Yeah.
And really hard, because all of a sudden I realized that what my senses told me was real was simply partial. Simply, you know, so for example, you look at a lawn and you see a bunch of grass, and that's what it is. It's grass. When one puts his or her face into that grass during an LSD experience, as I did, it's a universe. It's alive. Mm-hmm. They're organisms, and they're moving, and they're colors, and oh my God, I mean, I had my head looking into the grass for an hour, mm-hmm. or at least it felt that way.
Yeah.
And that was the beginning, you know, and then I had another experience where I was at a conference, a 10-day residential workshop, where the focus was on the heart. The focus was, you know, the topic was living from the heart center. And I'm going to make this as short as I can. On the second day of the conference, my wife called. This was my way back. My second wife called to tell me that she wanted an open relationship. And oh, by the way, she had already begun. And after lots and lots of empathy from the leader and the group, the next day the leader said, okay, it's time to leave the emotional level of experiencing behind. We're going to the heart. If you can't make that leap, go home. I'm putting a long story again, very short. And it was like, that's insane. I couldn't do it. That's impossible. And I was extremely mad and extremely hurt. You know, the grief, the anger was coming out of me like never before, which in and of itself was healing. But by the end of the day, my heart seemed to just open. And I started feeling love for no particular person, place, or thing. Just love. And I was, you know, boggled. I didn't understand it. And it was a moment where I knew my life had turned around. And from that moment, I continued to pursue spiritual paths. The Unity Church for a time, a guru for a time. And for the past 30 years, a Brazilian syncretic, meaning different religions brought together, in this case, Christian and Amazonian from the Amazon.
Is this the Santo Daime Church?
The União do Vegetal, which is the second biggest such church in Brazil, and in 11 countries now. And when you refer to my title there as Mestre, I've been, you know, a teacher in that church now for some 14 years. And it's been an important part of my life. And let me say that each of those aspects, the somatic, the psychological, and relational, you know, I break those down for pedagogic reasons, that is to teach, but they're not in
yes.
my experience. They're all very highly related. And it's towards, you know, recognizing we are connected.
Yeah.
We're connected to the divine. We're connected to each other. We're connected to nature. We're all part of life. And let me say one thing about that, that I'm beginning to suspect that water, is a major part of the medium of that connection.
I see. Yes. And I've had many guests on my show. It's really quite fascinating. I had a woman on my show a couple of months ago who is a spiritual teacher, and it all started with an LXD experience in the 70s. And she no longer does it, but it brought her to meditation, and her meditation practice took her very deep, and now she's a teacher, and she teaches different forms of yoga. So it's quite interesting to me always about how psychedelics and plant medicine can really open us up to something that's inherent inside of us. And I think this is something that the indigenous cultures have preserved for generations, and they were persecuted for it, but thank God they survived. And I've read articles even like they found ergo, the mold that grows on rye that LSD comes from in some ancient vases in Greece. So it's quite possible that the ambrosia that they speak about in ancient Greek myths was actually a psychedelic brew. But that sense of oneness that comes from that sense of interconnection, that sense of, like we're not separate from nature. It's so fascinating how in modern times we've striven so hard to separate ourselves from nature. And now look what nature is doing. It's becoming more extreme to kind of wake us up that like, hey, there is no separation.
I like that idea of nature wanting to wake us up, you know, that we're part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Dr. Don, I could talk to you all day long. We're definitely
likewise, Sam.
Definitely a kindred spirit. If anybody wants to learn more about your work or your teachings, is there a website they can go to? How would they find out more about you?
Yes, my website is www.pathsofconnection.com. PathsofConnection.com.
Wonderful. And I know you said you're only doing about 40% of a full practice. Do you still teach? Do you work with people in different ways?
Yeah, teach continuum.
Okay, wonderful. Teach
continuum, and that's on the website as well. And I encourage people to seek out other continuum teachers. My workshops tend to be full. But there are lots of teachers who teach online. You know, since the pandemic, it's now possible to take continuum workshops on Zoom. So it opens the possibility for more people.
Wonderful. Do you have a last message you would like to leave our audience with? Some words of encouragement for the future and in these very turbulent times?
Yeah. The message I like to leave folks with is embark on this journey, this adventure of a lifetime, and stay the course. Really understand what it means to be in this body. Because no matter how traumatized, and mine was at towards the extreme, there's a spark of light and a flow that's never extinguished completely. Never extinguished. Find it, cultivate it, grow it, become it.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Oh, and before we end the show, I see there's a comment on our YouTube channel from one of our loyal listeners. It says, healed is when you react calm to stress that would normally upset you.
That's a good thought.
That's a good one. All right. Well, thank you, Dr. Don, for taking time to come on our show today. I truly appreciate you and the work that you do. And you've given me, I'm going to have to go through the show notes after the fact to look at some of the teachers you referred to and some of the people you referred to. So thank you for the work that you do and for all that you contribute to the world.
I'm taking that moment to feel your compliment. Good. Thank you. It's really a pleasure to talk to you, Sam.
Thank you. And of course, thank you, my loyal listeners, for tuning in each week. Without you, there is no show. So thank you all for tuning in. Don't forget, following this show, it's Dr. Richard Lewis Miller. We air his show, Mind, Body, Health, and Politics, followed later today at 5 p.m. Eastern with Frank Harrison's show, Frank About Health. Thank you all for tuning in. Take care. We will talk to you all next week.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Were you an essential worker during the pandemic? If you needed to learn stages of epilepsy, did you depend on advocates? Did you use new innovations to cope with mental and neurological issues? Maintaining high quality of life and keeping good mental health are what we all strive for. I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health. And each week, top healthcare influencers, professionals, and innovators answer these questions and more. Stay tuned on Thursdays at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will continue to be frank about health with all of you.
Are you a business owner? Do you want to be a business owner? Do you work with business owners? Hi, I'm Stephen Fry, your small and medium-sized business, or SMB guy, and I'm the host of the new show, Always Friday. While I love to have fun on my show, we take those Friday feelings of freedom and clarity to discuss popular topics on the minds of SMBs today. Please join me and my various special guests on Friday at 11 a.m. on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your Conscious Consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Branku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.